not just the market, but the economy as well. It's just looking for a little bit of good news. It's looking for a little bit of certainty. Because remember, it's not just affecting consumers. It's affecting Fortune 50, Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies, because they've put a lot of money overseas. We have to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. I mean, just from a national defense standpoint.
Is about more than just a regular gym routine. When was the last time you checked on your financial fitness? If you're feeling like you're falling behind, Ed Sedell is here to help with The Retirement Trainer, a podcast about helping you get into better financial shape. Every week, Ed talks about things you need to know to become more financially fit for your future. Learn about things like how much money will you need, financial mistakes other people often make, and how you can avoid them. Plus, details on The Retirement Fitness Plan, a plan Ed personally created to help you get to and through retirement by focusing on five key areas of your financial life. Learn more about The Retirement Fitness Plan when you visit egsifinancial.com and click on Processes. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to The Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer.
It's The Retirement Trainer with Ed Sedell, a podcast about finding ways to help you become financially fit for your future, no matter what financial shape you're in now. With the tariffs being the topic of the day, how is fear driving the markets? Is a recession looming? This is Leanne Sedell, and here to help us with all our questions and give us some guidance to stay in the best financial shape possible, The Retirement Trainer, Ed Sedell. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Leanne. Boy, you know what? It's been a very, very busy 4 days. I mean, think about that, right? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we're not even through Monday yet. So this is April 7th.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been staying ahead of this, right? So we haven't gotten a whole lot of questions. We've been reaching out and talking to people. And
that's what I was going to say.
I think I've gotten one email and two phone calls. I guess the comment is, why is this happening? Of the two emails and the one phone call, my response has been, well, look, it's taken us 40 years to get to this point and the seven administrations plus during that time period. You can't unwind it and fix it in 4 days, right? And we were expecting a pullback, a correction, pushing bear territory, and that's kind of where we're at. But, you know, it's been pretty abrupt. Now, let me preface what I'm about to say with this first. I understand tariffs. It's not that I disagree with them. I'm not sure I agree with the strategy, because this is where we're at, right? But we saw the impact of the markets looking for any glimmer of hope. And there was a rumor that they were going to pause the tariffs for 90 days. And in less than 20 seconds, what did the market do? We'll say less than 30 seconds. It went from being 1,400 down to being almost
800 points up.
Over 800 points up. And then within less than a minute, once they said, oh, no, that's a rumor, boom, it came right back down. Now, I think right now, right before we came in here, it was down 380, which is a lot better than where it was last week. But everyone is looking for a glimmer of hope.
You know, I was listening to many interviews. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent was on there, and he was basically going through talking kind of about the fundamentals of how he was always looking for those fundamentals to exist in the market.
Government spending has been the fundamental. That's been what's propping up the market, is all this government spending.
So it was just interesting for me to listen to the fact that putting some of those things in place, and again, I'm not going to take a position on whether tariffs are good. I'm coming from the amateur layman perspective, but it makes sense to me in some ways that we would have reciprocal, that it would be even Steven. Like, we need to find a way of making this budget work. And it hasn't worked for a really, really long time.
Congress has not done their job in decades.
Digging a hole deeper and deeper and deeper. So, I mean, you've been talking about the debt on this podcast for so long.
For years, since we started. So let's clarify the difference between the market and the economy, because they're completely different.
Yeah.
All right. What's been propping up the market has been government spending. That's really what it is. We can call it pixie dust. So that's number one. Number two, when you look at the fundamentals, the actual economics right now, for the first time in the near term, well, we'll just say in the last couple of years, the hard economic data, not the stats, but the hard economic data. And there's a big difference, right? Stats are lies, damn lies, and statistics. But if you look at the data, the economy is moving in the right way, slowly, oh, so very slowly. The jobs report came out. But, you know, we need to be cautious because I think that this is a negotiating standpoint. And again, it's not that I would have thought, in my own opinion, that we would have done the extension of the current tax rate along with additional tax cuts and then really take the scissors or the axe or whatever and get rid of all the regulation and really hit go to deregulation to kickstart the economy. The tax cuts and deregulation, I mean, that's kind of like starter fluid in a motor. When you can't get it started, that's what you need to prime the pump, prime the motor to get it going. But instead, we started with tariffs. Now, everyone's acting like they're shocked. And I think they're shocked at the outcome. But this is what they've been talking about throughout the whole election, our tariffs. I think we need to be very careful that it's not prolonged.
But is this an opportunity? You know, they've been talking about the whatever, the seven.
Super seven, magnificent.
And we've been talking about how overvalued.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? So is this just not a way? I mean, because when you look at what's going on right now.
Now it's a buy. And we've incrementally, we did actually have someone say, hey, let's go to cash. And then we're like, all right, so now we're getting close to bottom, right? And if you read my blogs, I've been saying, you know, those that have gone to cash, you can't time it. You cannot time the market. They've missed it when it came back up. Now, having said that, we have a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines and we're incrementally dollar cost averaging buying in on the way down. There's no way to pick bottom. And that's important. People need to think about this. You need to have your financial plan. What is your financial plan? Yeah. What is your goal? Long term, remember, you know, safety, income, and growth. That is the key. That is the model. You know, safety, income, and growth. You have to have money in the market.
But again, you're talking a 10-year time frame on that, right?
Time, so right? That is the one asset you have to have in order for that to be able to recover. So if you were super risky and you're out of runway in your life, well, you shouldn't have been in there anyways, okay? At least with all your money. But that safety and income, you need to have enough money in those two buckets so that no matter what's going on in the market, it's never going to affect your ability to enjoy life. And that's really hard to stomach when you're going in and looking at your account a couple times a day. I mean, and no, it really is.
I'm not laughing about that, but I am going to tell you, it's one of those things where you wake up in the morning and if that's the channel that you choose to go to, it's going to those futures. They could really mess up your whole day.
Yeah. We look at it all day, every day. We talk about it every morning, throughout the day, and at night. I mean, to make sure that we're having a well-diversified portfolio because, you know, the international and the bonds and the portfolios that we have right now, that's what's been propping it up, all of our accounts, except for those that wanted that super high-risk stuff. Now, and even that has been faring well compared to the indices. So let's go back to tariffs. Just right before we came in here, Trump announced 100% tariff on China. And so, again, two emotions that drive the market. You've got fear and greed. And so that's fear. Oh my gosh, 100%. What does that mean? It is worse for China than it is for us.
Yeah, they're barely hanging on right now.
Well, yeah, it's not only that they're barely hanging on. It's that we have a deficit with them. They have a surplus with us. They need us. So a deficit means is that we're buying more of their goods than we are of theirs. Okay. And they need us to keep buying their goods. And if that slows down, I mean, they're in an economic winter as it is right now, China is. And so this could be crushing to them. And we already saw Vietnam, the EU, they don't want to go tit for tat. They want, you know, a zero net tariff. I think we're going to slowly start to see it. I had probably one of the best questions. I just got off a phone call with a client and he said, do you think it's going to be resolved here within the next couple of days with everything on the news? And I said, you know what? That is such a great question. And my answer is it's going to depend. There's so many variables. There's so many moving parts. But I think not just the market, but the economy as well. It's just looking for a little bit of good news. It's looking for a little bit of certainty. Because remember, it's not just affecting consumers. It's affecting Fortune 50, Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies, because they've put a lot of money overseas. Now, we already have close to, I think it's over $3 trillion now with a promise of pushing $5 trillion of investments here in the U.S. because of the tariffs. We have gone from being the largest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation in history. All right. We went from being an economic powerhouse and a manufacturing powerhouse all the way up until China became part of the WTO, World Trade Organization, and we sponsored them. And they've never really lived up to their promises, right? The trade balance and everything else. And our manufacturing has been reduced by, believe it or not, 40%. We have to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. I mean, just from a national defense standpoint, you know, just from a prescription medication,
well,
pharmaceuticals.
They said, and that's what they were talking about. Like I said, in those interviews this morning, it was all about COVID was like the test run for us. It was really bad. Here we thought all of these, we were going to be able to get all our meds. Things like paper towels and toilet paper were gone. We don't have.
I mean, when have you ever, this is a flashback from 5 years ago, but oh my gosh, how important was toilet paper, right?
And the price of cars. I mean, they took full advantage during that time. They hiked up the price of cars because you couldn't get the semiconductors.
Yep. Absolutely. And when we look at pharmaceuticals, I mean, they used to be produced in Puerto Rico and
China.
And well, now that's all China.
Yeah.
So none is in any U.S. territory.
Oh, okay.
So
you're saying that prior to. Okay.
Right. I mean, over the years. So, you know, bringing these things back to the U.S. is going to be really important. But I've been saying for a long time, not just talking about debt, but we have been in the process of an economic reset for a long time. And let me clarify how I define that. So the one way of reset, which was the path that we've been going down, was slow and steady. We're continue to overspend. We continue to have debt. The standard of living continues to decrease. We're seeing it with our own kids, right? I mean, the real wage hasn't increased like it was when you and I got out of college in the 80s and 90s, right? And it's going to continue to degrade to the point where, you know, I'm not saying that we would be a Venezuela or a Zimbabwe, but if we keep spending the way that we are, we could be.
It's $2 trillion we borrow every year right now. It's $2 trillion.
Right. So Doge, right? I forget about that, but just the fraud, the waste and abuse, right? Just the money that we're spending that we don't have. So that's the one reset. Now, the other reset is we're going to make a change, and this is how we're going to do it. There's going to be pain up front, but long term, our kids, our grandkids, and our great grandkids are going to be able to benefit from it. So I was oversimplifying it. One was we can have continued gain with little suffering and little pain now, but long term pain in the future, or we can have some short term pain now and have long term gain, right? Everybody wants the change, but no one's willing to sacrifice.
Well, and I think because it's become so political, so political, that we're not even listening to the rational sides, one or the other. I'm not going to go with, but listening,
it's
like
math. That's
exactly.
The math is always true. It never lies. It's all about the math. That's why you have to look at the hard data. You can't look at the stats that they're preaching and showing out there. And this isn't a Republican or Democrat thing. This is an American thing because every administration has done the same thing all the way across the board because it's all about their legacy. They have skewed the numbers. So the formula hasn't changed, but the variables inside the formula have changed. One of the questions that we get a lot, especially over the last 6 months, the economy, can we recover? And my response is, can we? Yes, but it's going to depend. Right. And it's going to depend on, are we willing to make those tough decisions? And that's not just with us on Main Street. I mean, this is Congress. Congress actually has to do their job. And I don't know if they're willing to do that. That's where it remains to be seen. And that's why, going back to what I said in the beginning, I would have thought, and again, these guys are way smarter than me, I would have thought that they would have focused on deregulation and, you know, extending the current tax code and actually adding in additional tax cuts. I hate to say that because we proved it in 18 going forward that by lowering the tax rate, the revenues went from 2.7, 2.8 to whatever it is, $4.9 trillion a year. So by lowering it, we actually have more productivity and a higher tax base.
And again, I think we're dealing with this stalemate in Congress. The things that are being addressed are being done by executive order. Those that actually like taxes and maybe some of this deregulation, that's got to go by way of Congress. They're not talking. They're not doing their job. They're not coming to the table. So I guess I'm going to come right back to the plan. I'm going to come back to safety, income, and growth and talking about the fact that those pieces are put into place for a purpose. They're put into place so that you're not panicking when you see the roller coaster of the last.
Yep. You're exactly right. when I draw safety income on the board, you know, when we're doing annual reviews and everything else, it's like, you know, safety is growth. Growth is everything that's in the stock market, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, oil and gas, even real estate. Okay. Income, that's the conservative bucket. So that's things in the money market, but that's income, Social Security, pensions, annuities. You know, pensions are nothing more than annuities, dividend income, interest income, rental income, right? And then safety. So safety, 6 to 12 months cash reserve set aside in case of emergencies. You know, especially right now, you know, if you lose your job or things get tight, you know, you want to have the cash reserve set aside to make sure that you're not borrowing on credit cards. And see, that's a big deal because, you know, credit card debt is at an all-time high again. I think we're back over $1.3 trillion in credit card debt. The average interest rate, I think it's approaching 29%, I heard. I mean, that's astronomical.
Yeah, but again, what we're watching, a lot of people, we're not just talking about Congress, they can't control how they're spending money. They're asking all of us to control how we're spending within our homes. The interest rates are ridiculous for credit cards and how that buries people deeper and deeper into a hole. And look at the interest rates. When we watch those uptick, what that does to the federal government and the debt that we have.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've got $13 trillion coming due. And as rates go up, I mean, we're already spending $1 trillion a year just on interest,
on
over
interest.
A trillion.
Yes.
It has now surpassed our national defense spending. And here's the problem with the interest on the national debt. Under Clinton, and this goes, so I'm starting with Clinton, but I mean, it goes all the way across the board. Every single president, including Trump, right? I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. Clinton, Bush 1, Obama, Trump, Biden, okay? You had all of these treasuries, secretaries, all of them. And what they did was they continued, right, to refinance the debt at the short term because it was a lower interest rate. Why did they do that? Well, they did it because of legacy. Oh my gosh, look, you know, our budget, we're closer to balancing the budget instead of extending out. Now, what would have been smart?
Them to lock it in.
Lock it in, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, especially when interest rates were at zero or negative. Why didn't we lock it in? Why did we keep it at, you know, at 90 days or 6 months?
It's easy to gamble when it's not your own money.
It is. But now this is the problem, right? The chickens are coming home to roost. So now we have to refinance that debt at a much higher rate. And now this goes right to the bottom line, to the budget, which affects everything. So, you know, we talk about inflation. We talk about statistics. We talk about skewing the numbers. Okay. The inflation numbers, when we talk about the number of jobs that were actually added last year, they were government jobs and they were revised down twice. All right.
Yeah.
So I think it wound up being about 1.8 million jobs fewer, but those that were actually added, the majority of them were government jobs. That's inflationary. And when you add that many jobs and we don't have the money to fund them, and now we're going through, right, through this budgetary process and saying, well, wait a minute, what's everyone doing? And we're eliminating jobs. Everyone's going crazy because it has become political. But if we look at what Clinton and Gore did, what did they do when they balanced the budget? They got rid of over 400,000 employees, government employees. It's the same thing. Why did they do that? They needed to balance the budget. So we had a Republican Congress, House and Senate, okay, and we had a Democratic White House. They were actually able, they didn't agree, right? But they were able to come together, work together, and get these things passed for the benefit. And we actually had a surplus. Not for both terms, but for one term. Contract of America, right, with the Republicans. And then Clinton understood the bigger picture and got it passed. What we need to do now is, from an economic standpoint, balance the budget. Because if we ran our households the way that the government did, we'd all be in jail for check kiting. I mean, think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I want to bring this full circle just to end on a positive note, which again is, I do think you see
light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I'm still at the big picture, long term. I'm still very, very positive. I'm cautious. We need to make sure that these tariffs can't go on forever. And I don't think they will. I do think it's a negotiating standpoint. We're starting to see the EU and all these countries in Vietnam and Taiwan, you know, hey, we would have done this anyways. Well, you've had 40, 50 years. Why haven't you? Right. So I think that this was needed to get people to the table.
And I just wish there was a little bit more. We talk about transparency all the time, but like, look at the numbers, like 2.5 on the United States side, 10%. How are we,
or
like
30 or 40 or 50?
Well, and I'm just using the minimum. I don't know how we look at that and think that that is, how is that fair?
Well, and that's it. It's not fair trade. So everyone says, you know, we need free trade. Well, it's not free trade. It's got to be fair. It's never going to be free. We have to resolve the trade deficit to a certain point, right, to make it more economical for the U.S. We have to become not just energy independent, but we have to become one of the largest energy exporters. There's a lot of things that have to be done. We have to cut deregulation and encourage and spur on economic growth. And we're starting to see that, because if we weren't, we wouldn't have over $3 trillion of investments coming into the U.S. There's that drone plant right here in right by Rickenbacker here in Columbus, Ohio. Is it 4,000 jobs?
Yeah, that's where I was getting to, is basically you have to look at the positives of all these companies coming to the United States and putting money. Hyundai, there's billions upon
building a steel plant and building a manufacturing plant, and right? But this isn't going to be an overnight fix.
No, it isn't.
So this is long term. Again, you know, short term pain for long term gain. And if you look at the bigger picture, I see light at the end of the tunnel, not just for you and me. We're very, very young. But I'm
looking at my grandkids.
And my grandkids, right? I finally start to see a future, a bright future for them. And that's exciting. And again, we need to be able to separate the difference between the stock market and the economy. Fear and greed drive the stock market. There's a lot of fear going on. So let's talk about this and we'll end on this. In the beginning, right, you saw as soon as the tariffs were announced, the sky is falling and panic, panic, panic. And then we saw a little bit of recovery. And now we're starting to see the second round of panic. And this is the second round where everyone's like, oh my gosh, I should have gotten out early. Now it's time to get out. So when you start seeing that, then the PE ratio, the price earnings ratio, has really come down. I think it was in the high 20s early on, right before the tariffs, it was around 22. And at its low point today, it was below 17. This is a buyer's market. So buying into the market now, and it's hard, it takes discipline. So you cannot buy and sell on emotion. You have to have a strategy. This is in your financial plan. You have to be very disciplined, and you have to dollar cost average buying in. Even as things are going down, so think of it as your 401k, your 403b, your 457, all right? I mean, you're still putting money away every paycheck, and what are you doing? You're buying as things are going down, all right? So you're buying it at a cheaper cost so that way when things do turn around, you're going to be able to recover that much quicker, right? Be disciplined. Have a plan. Follow your financial plan. Have that strategy. And I'll tell you, again, I'm bullish on the future for our kids and grandkids.
Yeah, well, if you still have questions, or if you'd like a 15-minute complimentary consultation, give us a call at the office. You can call at 614-526-4118. You can send us an email at info@egsifinancial.com. Or you can go to our website and sign up for a meeting there at egsifinancial.com. Again, thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Leanne.
You tested your fitness level, not your workout routine. I'm talking about your financial endurance. Because if saving to a 401k is the extent of your effort, it is time for you to start shaping up. And Ed Sedell is here to help you do that with The Retirement Trainer. It's his podcast to help you examine your financial stamina and learn the questions you should be asking and areas to focus on to help you get to that place you've been working so hard for, a happy, comfortable retirement. And it's not as hard as some might have made you believe. Ed's broken it down into 5 simple steps. It's the retirement fitness plan, which he personally created to help clarify key areas of your financial life. Learn more about the retirement fitness plan at egsifinancial.com. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to The Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer. Investment advisory services offered through EGSI Investment Management, DBA EGSI Financial Group, a registered investment advisor. Insurance and annuities offered through EGSI Financial Services, Inc., Ohio License Number 102-06-19.